It's been reported that Katib might be looking to activate Deion Lewis at some point in the near future here. Just figured we should check with you. Has there been any change in his status?
There hasn't been. Yeah. We'll see how it goes here as we get closer to the game.
You've seen him out for several practices now. Have you been encouraged by what
he's
been
doing? Yeah, no, he's working hard. Mm-hmm. Yep, Deion's working hard. I think this is, you know, what he needs to be around football, you know, rehabbing and running up hills and doing push-ups and all that. I mean, it's great, but that's not playing football. So he's gotten a lot of good football snaps over the last however many days it's been. Yeah, it's good.
Joel, what's the biggest indicator to you that a player coming off injury, no matter how long he's been out, is ready for game action?
Yeah, I think you just have to go by what you see. I mean, the fact that he's been cleared medically tells you that he's to a certain point. You know, then it's a question of how he looks on the football field. Some of that's relative to what you remember him in the past. Some of it's relative to what is out there that he's competing against.
Safe to say that the game snaps when you see him in a game mean a lot more than when you see him practice, because you can't replicate game speed, or is that
That's probably true. Yeah. Although I think it depends on how many snaps we're talking about. We see a lot more snaps in practice than possibly we would see in the game. So just picking out numbers, I have no idea, but I mean, you know, might have 15 game snaps, you might have 75 practice snaps, so I don't know. Would you ignore those 75 plays that you've seen for a handful in a game, or vice versa? You know, I don't know.
What can Lewis add to this offense?
Pardon?
What can Lewis add to the offense?
I don't know. We'd have to put him out there and see.
Well, you guys have obviously run some formations where you have two backs on the field at one time, but it feels like oftentimes it's usually just one back there.
Mm-hmm.
Has James White, and we've seen a lot of work through the first half of the season here, shown enough? I think you've mentioned the amount of growth he's shown, but has he done enough to continue to have a regular role if and when Deion does come back, whenever that does happen?
I think James White's good, is a good player. What he does is good. Could somebody do it better? I mean, I don't know. But it would take quite a bit, I would say, based on where he is and how consistent he's been, what he's done. It would take somebody playing pretty good to be better than him.
Well, since Marshawn Lynch retired, have you seen the Seahawks kind of change the way they play offense at all? It seems like they've leaned a little bit more on the passing game.
I think their offense is the same. I mean, the play calling, you know, it's something you'd have to ask them. I'm not really sure. But, no, I would say their offense is their offense. I don't think there's, like, a lot of new plays or a lot of plays have been thrown out that we – saw before that we haven't seen since. I wouldn't put it in that category at all. I don't think they have a good system. It's a well-balanced system. They run the ball with quarterback under center. They run the ball a lot out of shotgun. Those are kind of two different but complementary type running games. Same thing in the passing game. They throw the ball under center. They throw the ball with the quarterback in the shotgun. They run play action. They run dropbacks. They run misdirection plays. They take shots down the field. They throw a lot of catch and run plays. So I mean, they're a well-balanced offense. They can hurt you a lot of different ways.
Bill, when you do go with the two backs, especially the split backs, how does that stress a defense? Where does that challenge them? Is that the safeties, the linebackers, personnel? How does that?
Well, it depends on what the backs do. But if they both carry the ball, then it gives you two guys that can carry the ball instead of one, as opposed to having, say, a tight end back there or somebody like that. You free release one of those two guys, then which guy is it? It depends on who the players are. I mean, I don't know. You know, it's, who's the other person back there?
So when it comes to the Seahawks defense, how crucial is this skill set to allowing them to do what they want to do. It looks like, in terms of patrolling that middle part of the field, he's...
Yeah, well, he's more than just middle of the field player. It's just, this is version of Ed Reed. You know, he makes a lot of very instinctive plays. He anticipates very well. He's got good speed, good range, good ball skills, good anticipation. So he makes plays that maybe the conventional safety wouldn't make because of his anticipation, his experience.
Looks like also they might get Cam Chancellor back after he's been out over a month. What does he add to their defense, and how does he complement Thomas?
Yeah, well, he's the down safety. I mean, McCray's really taken his spot and played the way that I would say Cam plays. And Earl Thomas plays the way Earl Thomas plays, and I guess Terrell would back him up if something happened to him. So it's kind of two different positions. But, I mean, Cam Chancellor's a good football player. He's big. He's long. He's kind of like a linebacker. He's got that kind of size, that kind of hitting ability. But he's a safety, so he adds a very physical element to their defense and a lot of experience. I mean, this guy's played a lot of football, been in a lot of critical situations, made a lot of big plays for him. So he's a good player. But, I mean, look, we expect all our guys to play, so we're, until they're ruled out, we'll prepare for all of them.
Which area of Malcolm Butler's game has grown the most this season?
I don't know. I mean, hopefully all of it. I mean, I don't think a player just improves in one area and then not any other ones. I mean, hopefully there's some kind of, rising tide lifts all boats, lifts all the parts of the player's game. Hopefully. I mean, we've had a lot of practices. We've been at it for 3.5 months, and hopefully over that period of time, preparation, communication, technique, scheme. Hopefully it's all improved some. I hope it has.
How difficult is it to find a versatile free safety, either like Devin or like Earl Thomas?
Talking about two first-round picks right there. Ed Reed is another one, another first-round pick. So, generally speaking, the better players go higher in the draft. Not always, but generally speaking, there's a lot more Hall of Fame players from the first round than there are from the other rounds. So, good players at any position get gobbled up in a hurry. But it's an important position to have defensively. Those players don't get involved in every play, but the plays that they are involved in are significant plays. They're open field tackles, they're passes that are thrown a lot of yards down the field. There, could be game-changing plays or game-winning plays, if you will, turnovers, things like that. So it's kind of the nature of that position. It's not like playing guard where you're defensive tackle where every play, you're, right in the middle of every play. Some of those plays are, it's a handful of plays every game. Like when you grade a free safety, you get maybe 70 plays in the game. Well, and when I coach that position, I mean, you grade the player on every play because you don't know which one is, going to be right and which one's going to be wrong. But you could have, five minuses and it didn't even matter, and then it could be, 68 plays and two not so good ones and it's a bad game. So it's a lot different than some of the other positions that are on the field. You don't get very many chances. The ones you get are critical. You want to do things right all the time because you never know which one of the plays is going to be the critical one. So it's important, but it's important when the opportunities comes that the opportunity comes that the player is able to, make the play, do what he needs to do in that situation. So it's different than some of the other positions on the field. It really is. But critical once it comes up, it's. Then it's the most important position on the field.
In the past, a little bit about how there's some players that you can really only find at the top of the draft. I think you mentioned Richard Seymour when talking about that. How do you work around that in other positions like that. I'm not sure if offensive tackle or wide receiver or some of those positions are like that as well.
Well, I'd say when you look at the league, that's probably the way most people see it. I mean, see the players get taken in the top of the draft. I mean, a lot of times there's runs on those, you know, pass rushers, offensive tackles, quarterbacks. I mean, players at the position that maybe if the team has to stretch a little bit because of the value that they place on the position and how hard it is to find those players, then that elevates the player's draft status. I mean, a guy like Seymour, you know, I mean, they're hard to find, you know, guys that are Leonard Williams or guys like that that are long, that have the strength and you know, ability to play defensive tackle as a run player, but are long and could be, you know, impact pass rushers at that position. I mean, they don't grow on trees. I mean, they're hard to find. So if you get a shot at a guy like that, and, you know, relative to what else is out there and so forth, that's those guys are hard to find. Yeah, definitely, you know, Seymour's, he's a rare type of talent, is rare. Just don't find it at the top of the draft or anywhere in the draft, really.
Well, how hard has Pat Chung worked to improve his coverage skills as a safety?
Yeah, really hard. I mean, Pat always works hard. I don't think there's ever been a day I've been out on the practice field and come off and felt like Pat didn't work hard. And he works hard all the time. He can be banged up. He can be, you know, dealing with something, but he still goes out there and, you know, has a lot of mental toughness and can work through it. So he always works hard. I don't think you could ever, I would never question his work ethic or effort as long as I've ever coached him. But, you know, as I've said before, going back to when he was here, you know, the first time we drafted him, you know, he was a competitive coverage player then. There's not a lot of safeties you can put in the slot against good quick slot receivers and, you know, and be consistently competitive. I'm not saying it was a shutout every time and all that. I mean, there's times where, you know, where West beat him. There's times where he covered West too, you know. And so, I mean, it wasn't like, you know, we had a list, you know, 10 or 12 guys long that we would, guys that were on that, you know, like, oh, they went out there, you know, went toe-to-toe with Welker all day when, you know, when he was in his prime there. I mean, that's just, you know, it's a tough assignment. But, you know, I mean, I'd say Pat has that kind of quickness. He has, you know, size, I mean, for a corner, not for a safety, but for a corner, you know, it's a decent-sized safety. But, I mean, when you look at him as a corner coverage-type player, you know, he's got some strength and, he's got, you know, say, better size than most.
Position, how important is it, I guess I'm looking for kind of a gauge between coverage and the ability to tackle, especially if he's on
a good position. At both of them. Yeah, I think those are all the, you know, you start talking about Pat's strengths, that's what they are. Open field tackling, inline tackling, coverage ability. I mean, you know, we put him in the slot there against receivers, against tight ends, put him up against good backs. He's a very good tackler. He's very good in the open field, and we see that in the kicking game too. I mean, it's a guy that, you know, earlier in his career did everything in a kicking game. I mean, never came off the field on special teams. So it's a pretty special athlete, you know, to be able to do that. I mean, there's guys that can run. There's guys that can hit. He can do both, you know, and he's got quickness that a lot of players his size, I'd say he's got more than most players his size have, which is what makes him good in those short space coverage situations.
When you're managing personnel, I'm sure that there are people that you personally come to really like, but for whatever reason might not fit into a role or a situation. I'm curious how you kind of reconcile that when you might have to let them go or move on.
Yeah, well, I mean, we know when we start we can't keep everybody. So, unfortunately, that's part of this business. It's not a good thing, but it's reality. We all know that. Players know it. Coaches know it. But, yeah, it's hard. Players work hard, do everything you ask them to do. Can't keep everybody. So.
Do you feel that sometimes where you're personally, you really like somebody, but you have to go a different way?
Yeah, well, I mean, look, I like all of our players. You know, I like all our players that work hard, that are dedicated, that are tough, that give you everything that they have. I wouldn't say every player that's ever played here would fall into that category, but a lot of them do. Most of them do, but not every one. So, I mean, there are some players you release that, you know, I don't think you feel bad releasing them. They either weren't talented enough, or they really didn't work hard enough, or they really just weren't competitive enough. So, I mean, it's pretty clear cut. I mean, that's not, those aren't hard decisions. There's a lot of other ones that are hard, you know. And I think it's hard when a player does everything you ask him to do. He works as hard as he can. He gives you everything he's got. And sometimes it's just not enough. There's just other players better than him that are ahead of him. So that's, you know, now I'd say a lot of those players, because of the quality of team that we've had here, the quality of players that we've had, a lot of those players play somewhere else. And that's, you know, that's professional football. So I don't think we should act like it's never happened before. You know, players from our team play on other teams. We have some players that have been on other teams. That's the National Football League. So sometimes it's system, fit, opportunity. I mean, there could be a lot of different factors. It's not, it's because we release a player or a coach, look, I've been released. I mean, sometimes it doesn't work out one place and it works out somewhere else. And that's, you know, that's life. I mean, a lot of us been in those situations.
So a guy like Richard Sherman, who seems to just have this knowledge of the rule book and then also be able to use that while playing at full speed, how valuable is that? How rare is that? And can you compare him to anyone you've had in the past here, anyone on the team now that is able to do that?
Yeah, I mean, I've never coached Sherman personally, so I don't really know, you know, what it's like with him day to day. But I mean, he's, you know, a very competitive player. He's a good football player. He does a lot of things well. He tackles well. He covers well. He's long. He's got great ball skills. And, you know, he's very productive. He's a guy that, you know, is an impact player. I mean, you got to know where he is on the field. He can change the game. You know, I mean, all the other things on a personal level, I've read and heard about like everybody else has, but I can't really speak to that, you know, firsthand. But I'd say he's very instinctive. He knows, you know, when he has his guy covered that he can look and see the ball or maybe help on somebody else, even though it's not his man, because he's in control of his guy and he's confident that the quarterback's not going to throw it to him or that he could recover if he did. So, you know, he makes some good instinctive plays on that. I mean, look, I think it helps every player and coach to know the rules. Like, the more you know the rules, then the more you can take advantage of them and not have fouls called on you because you don't know. So sometimes, you know, things are unavoidable. You know, you're playing fast and something happens and, you know, you grab a guy or whatever. And, you know, but have rules, infractions, just because you don't know what the rules are, like, we think all players want to try to avoid that. All coaches want to try to avoid it. I'm not saying it still doesn't happen. I mean, it's a thick rule book. There's a lot of, can get kind of tricky on some things. And as we saw the other night, you know, and sometimes the officials need to talk it over. So, you know, that's part of what makes football a great game that it is. There's a lot of strategy and different situations involved that, you know, make it, as well as a physical contact game, make it a thinking game. And also there's a high level of skill with the skilled athletes that play it. So, that's all, you know, that's all part of it. But, yeah, we try to do the best job that we can to teach our players the rules, to play within the rules, to do what we're allowed to do, but not go beyond that. That's exactly what we try to, I think that's what everybody tries to teach. I know that Pete does a great job of that, too. I mean, they, you know, they do things that cause you problems that if you aren't alert, they'll get you on it. You know, you just got to, you know, you got to be disciplined against them. They're very good. They got New Orleans 2 weeks ago, you know, on the field goal, got them to jump off sides, and so, you know, I mean, things like that. They play smart situational football.
Well, the significance of today, to you, obviously Joe on your roster, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, obviously a huge day for our country. Recognize the people that defend our freedom, and we talked about it this morning. I mean, it's, you know, when you go into the service and you take that oath and say that you'll put your life between the freedom of this country and somebody that's trying to harm us, I mean, that's, doesn't get any more, you know, can't do much more than that. So that's, it's pretty big, pretty big oath, pretty big pledge. So people that have done that, we have tremendous respect and appreciation for. We're fortunate we have one on our team, and I think he's a great representative of not only the New England Patriots, but the United States Navy and servicemen in general. I mean, glad he's on our side, and I know we have a lot of others, many other thousands of men and women that serve this country and have served this country for our freedom. So very proud of that. Recognize it today. We'll recognize it, obviously, on Sunday on the salute to service. We had to just clear up, a couple of years ago that Veterans Day wasn't a day for players that had played so long in the league, anything special. That's really not what we were talking about. We were talking about the real veterans. So a little confusion on that a few years ago, but we got that worked out. All right. You got it. Okay, thank you.